turn to page 371, 371. And let's all stand together. We continue our Christmas songs today.
Oh, little town of Bethlehem, thou still wilt see the light. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shine the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wandering love. Oh, morning stars together proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to men on earth. Oh, holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel.
Beautiful, you may be seated.
I'm reading this morning in place of Tom, who was set to read this morning's letter from Matthew. Let's keep him in our prayers. He wants to be a part of our service through teaching and singing and reading, but isn't able to right now. So let's just keep him in our prayers. This morning, as we take time to prepare our hearts for Advent, it's my honor to read a letter addressed to you from the gospel writer Matthew. When we reached out to the original gospel writers to get their perspective on Advent, Matthew responded first, and he wrote 5 letters in total for us this Advent season. We hope these letters will touch your hearts. In today's letter, Matthew writes, "Dear Liberty Fellowship Church, does your heart ever skip a beat when you see someone try to pull off a dangerous feat? An acrobat reaching for the trapeze as she spins in the air without a safety net? A high dive or some other such risk? Sometimes when I think of God's plan of salvation, my heart catches in my throat. What a risk God made to place the Gospels into human hands. What a wager that God would ask imperfect humans to tell the most important story in the world. I recall reading Paul's second letter to Timothy for the first time and feeling sick. His words to pass on the gospel haunted me, blew through my hollowed-out soul like a desert wind. To hear someone like Paul, in his desperation at the end of his life, tell Timothy and the church how high the stakes are of leaving the gospel in human hands, well, it was nerve-wracking. The weight of that responsibility hit all of us original apostles at some point. I think all believers must feel the overwhelming weight at a point in their spiritual pilgrims. I found myself asking, God, why me? Can you relate? Do you ever ask yourself, no matter how you came to faith, God, what are you doing using someone like me? How loudly did that thought pound through Mary's heart as she prepared to give birth that first Christmas? Mary, me, every believer since. I wrote my gospel to challenge my readers to be honest about their lives, honest about the sin they could not hide and the righteousness that they could not achieve on their own. What a risk that God leaves it all to us, imperfect as we may be, to share the message of grace with others. It's not an easy message to give, just as it is not an easy message to receive, especially today. But it's the truth that will set people free. When people encounter Jesus, they are faced with the ugliness of their own sin. their innate inability to measure up with God's holy standard of perfection. You, church, are called to be a herald of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to tell the good news to others. You're not meant to hold that story in silence, but instead to risk sharing the story of Jesus' advent so others will, like you, know the joy of salvation. The risk of Jesus' advent was great, but the risk of not sending Christ into the world was greater. God wants us to tell the story. You may be imperfect, but there's so much at stake, and I know that He will work in you perfectly to bring hope to the world. Touched by that hope, your friend, Matthew.
A woman and an angel, a promise and a song, a word too grand for any mind to hold. A tax law and a journey, a stable and some straw. These tell the greatest story ever told. Oh, sing glory in the highest. He is come, our great Messiah. Come bow before this awesome mystery. Mighty God and fragile baby, here a lowly manger holds, and it's still the greatest story ever told. A hillside and some shepherds, a blaze of blinding light, angels singing carols in the cold. Eternal revelation to men as dull as stone, the glorious greatest story ever told. Oh, sing glory in the highest. He has come, our great Messiah. Come bow before this awesome mystery. Mighty God and fragile baby, here a lowly manger holds, and it's still the greatest story ever told. Oh, sing glory in the highest. He has come, our great Messiah. Come bow before this awesome mystery. Mighty God and fragile baby, here a lowly manger holds, and it's still the greatest story ever told. And it's still the greatest story ever told.
Amen. Thank you, Henry. That's beautiful. Can we have our ushers at this time? John, you bless her. I normally don't do this, but I'm going to say something. I want you this morning to, this is God's house. This is where we come to worship. I want you this morning to open up your hearts. And I want you to think about a small child that was born for us. The Savior of the world. We needed a Savior. We had no way back to God. He didn't have to do that, church. We needed Him. And we do every day of our lives. It's just not another day of church. Dig in there and know what God's done for you. Feel Him this morning. 408. Let's stand and sing two verses of Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Just born of earth and sky, born the man. 5:30. Can I come? Well, here we are. Back together again, waiting on one special moment. And that is to hear what God has to say to us. Wow. Don't think you're here to listen to me. I'm just bringing you the word. And it's special. I think it's more special than we give it credit, folks. I really do. I think we've got to get deeper than we've been to have what God intended for us to have. We've got to get there. And whatever it takes to get there, let's do it. Okay? I'm going to read 5 verses of Scripture that you are really, really familiar with. John, of course, is different than the other Gospels, as you've noticed. Matthew, Mark, Luke are different in how they approach life and the life of Christ, life itself. When they tell us of the birth of Jesus Christ, they tell us the history, the details of his birth, about the wise men, about the shepherds, about the place, about the poverty that was there where he was born. They give us those details. But they leave out details. Now, this is not anything on them, because they gave it as the God, the Holy Spirit, gave it to them. So we're not saying they were wrong in how they wrote the gospel. They gave us everything, because there's a harmony of the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John harmonize. They really do. You may read one, and they may be telling you the same story as the one before, but if you'll notice, it's different. But when you put it all together, you get the whole story. You get the complete story. So that's called a harmony of the Gospels. Well, John really gives us that high tenor part. You know, in quartet harmony, and 4 is a quartet, right? In quartet harmony, the tenor singer is usually the star of the show. And I don't mean that bad. I'm just telling you that the tenor singer usually is the person who gives it that ring that you say, wow, listen to that. There may be an old ugly bass voice in there like John Augustus. And you might say, well, hello, can he go? Or there might be a lead singer in there, or an alto in there, and you're saying, wow, listen to those voices. But when that tenor singer sings out and they crescendo in that song, wow, that song just goes out the roof, doesn't it? Well, folks, John is your tenor voice. Good thing about that is, I never thought a thing about that yesterday or day before when I was preparing for this message. That just came just now. Hey, like that. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a different look at John. Now let's look at the first 5 verses, and we'll read it together. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. But better still, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. That's it. That's all inclusive, isn't it? In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, I'm going to be going through these here in just a few minutes, so you hang on, because there's some really good stuff right here. Really good stuff. The life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Let's ask God to enlighten our minds this morning to these five verses of Scripture, please. Our Father in heaven, oh, hallowed be thy name today. We want to worship you today. We want to worship you in truth and in spirit. We want to leave here not just better people. We want to leave here better servants, better Christians, better children. And we want to thank you for what you're going to do. Already, our hearts have been lifted up this morning. Now we're going to go higher, Lord. And we praise you for everything you've done. Everything in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a little bit about John. Maybe you haven't, or maybe you have, read a little bit about John. John lived longer than all the 12. He had the longest lifespan. He was the only one that died of natural causes. The others were put to death. John relates to what the other Gospels writers omitted. And where they wrote of the history, he wrote of the mystery. This is a good way to remember this. Where they wrote of the history, he wrote of the mystery. And that is the mystery of the spiritual things. That's where the mystery comes in, you know. They wrote of bodily things of Christ. John writes of the spiritual things of the gospel. The reason for the first chapter in the book of John is to confirm your faith and my faith. The reason it confirms that is because he wrote of spiritual things. He didn't write of the things that we would recognize first. We recognize things first. That's just our human nature. We do that. But John didn't write of those things. He wrote of spiritual things, if I could put it that way, of Christ. John was a very special person in that God chose him. I want you to catch this. Let your minds just fall in. God chose him. And you say, well, yeah, God chooses everybody, doesn't he? This was a special gospel, and God chose wisely who was going to do it. And he did. He was going to write about the Savior of the world in spiritual terms. Not the Savior of the world born as a baby in a manger in Bethlehem. There's a difference. I love the story of Bethlehem, and I love the way Matthew and Luke do it. We had a wonderful time last week, didn't we? Did I say wonderful? All week long, I've been getting these mysterious messages of wonderful. Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Counselor, Savior, just popping up all week long. Been best week of my life. I really mean that, Anthony. It's been so good. And it was a good week last week. But now we're going to take you into the tenor part. Okay? You like that tenor part, don't you? You see, John was different in that he was filled with love and adoration. Did we use that word last week? I think we did. He was filled with love and adoration for his Lord. Now, God fills you. God gives you what you have. If you feel like you have a special place in your heart for children, God gives you that. If you feel like you have a special place in your heart for older people, God gives you that. And whatever God gives you to feel, you need to do something with it. Don't let it just lay dormant until it rusts and rots and goes to nothing. Use it. Because God gave it to us for a reason. So whatever that specialty is, you got to use it. Well, John was so special in that God chose him, that he was so filled of that love and admiration that God had put in his heart, that one day he would be the man who would lay his head on the breast of the wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, chest. The thing we worshiped so much in last Sunday, that's where John was. He was so close he could do that. So he laid his head on his chest. John was the man who stood beside the cross. He witnessed firsthand the death, the awful death of a little baby that was born in Bethlehem who had grown up for us, who had gone through so many harsh things in those 33 years of his life. And at the end of that, he would die a cruel death. Well, the man who was standing there by the cross, who loved him so much that he laid his head on his chest, realizing he was wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. Whew. And when he looked up standing beside the cross, he saw that very one suffering for him. I believe we got to see him suffering for us. Yeah. If we just take the story, the physical story of it, it's just another story. What he did for me. What he did for you. Yes. And John stood there beside that cross and he looked up and saw him. And oh, what a love that he had in his heart for him. A love that was given to him especially for the life he was going to live. It wouldn't be too long after that, a real short time actually, that John would stand and look up and watch him go into the heavens. For who? He was a witness to the ascension of wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, and the Prince of Peace, the Savior of the world. He watched the Savior of the world go up through the air That's who John was. That's what made him what he was, and the one who made him that way. These are the reasons. Do you remember after, excuse me, I disappeared out of the camera, I know. Do you remember at the cross what he was told to do? Sometimes we forget these little tidbits. He was the one who would watch after the mother of the Savior of the world. Of wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, and the Prince of Peace. He wasn't just a brother at that time. He wasn't just a person in the crowd that would do this. He was John. Jesus knew who he was asking to watch after his mother. And he did. He took care of her until she died. And he'll take care of you until you die and leave this old world. Or until he comes and ends the whole thing. Either way, my prayer is today is that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, your Lord, and your Master. Now, if you've read the book of John, you know that there is a special verse in the book of John, and you may, if you don't know, you may want to jot this verse down, because this verse tells you why we have the first five verses of the book. And I'm going to read it to you. It is 20, verse 31. And it says, "But these are written," talking about the book of John, "but these are written that you might believe." It's okay. Technology sometimes gets in the way. I didn't want to go on until we got that satanic phone quieting down. Been there and done that, John. About everybody has. "But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ." Now, if you want to know how important the first five verses are that I'm going to go over, this is why. It's that it's written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ. But it goes on, the Son of God. You got to see him complete and whole. "And that believing you might have life through his name." Jesus. Sweetest name ever to come off the lips of man. And it's not just because we can say it in syllables in English language. It's because he is wonderful. He is Counselor. He is the Mighty God. He is the Everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. That's why. You see, my life, my eternal life, is not just in the fact that I'm a believer and I go to church at 1011 East Holston Avenue. I have life because he gave me life. And my life isn't a side attraction either. My life is through him. He didn't hand it out from some other place. He gave it to me through him. I have him, and he's my life. So, That verse tells us why we're going to get into these first five verses. Now we're going to get into these first five verses, if you will. It's a relationship that God has, or that Jesus has, with the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and us. Okay? So here's a relationship to God. We know when we say he has a relationship to God, we know that the Bible's already quoted that he is God. So that right away tells us there's a mystery here, and the mystery is in the Trinity. I can't give you a definition of Trinity. I can't tell you why and how that is, because it's not in man's thinking. You got to get out of man's thinking to get spiritual about where God wants us. I cannot describe to you why we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. They are three, yet they're one. That does not make sense in our world that we live in as human beings. It does not. But, buddy, it does in his. It does, and we've got to believe that. So it says the first two verses are his relationship with God the Father. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now, in these two verses, he's called the Word. I hardly ever call him the Word, even though I know the Bible says he is. That's not just something he can be called. It is what he is, because he plainly says that he was with God and he was God, and that in the beginning was the Word. So he was the Word, and he was with God, was God. That'll never change. It's going to stay the same. If you were a believer 100 years ago, it'll be the same for a believer today. And you won't understand any part of this until you too are a believer. Amen. You got to believe that he was born of a virgin. You got to believe that he lived a sinless life. You got to believe that he died on an old rugged cross, that he resurrected, he ascended, and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father just to intercede for those who believe. If you're not a believer, he's not interceding for you, by the way. He's not on your lawyer list. You can't get him to go to bat for you if you don't know him as your Savior. And that's not a way for you to do it. You ought to do it because you know what he did for you. He loved you first, foremost, everything. He loved you, and he wants you to go to heaven. And you fall in love with him. That's what salvation is. It's falling in love with the one who died for you. So he says he is called the Word. This just came to me this morning. I was sitting down there in the office for a few minutes, and this came, and I thought how much this man knew. Because from Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9, and it says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." Now, why he used that particular verse, I don't know, because I do. In some sense. But here's the song, and you know it, we sing it. And it says, "Deeper, deeper in the love of Jesus, daily let me go. Higher, higher," that's your tenor part, "in the school of wisdom, more of grace to know. Deeper, deeper, blessed Holy Spirit, take me deeper still, till my life is wholly lost in Jesus and his perfect will. Deeper, deeper, though it cost hard trials, deeper let me go. Rooted in the holy love of Jesus, let me fruitful grow. Deeper, higher, every day in Jesus, till all conflict pass, finds me conqueror and in his own image, perfect, perfected at last. Deeper, deeper in the faith of Jesus, holy faith and true, in his power and soul exalting wisdom, let me peace pursue." Do you think that man knew about the spiritual things? Amen. I think he knew a whole lot about spiritual things. And he wrote that song, "Deeper, Deeper." And that's where I want to go. Because my Savior, my Lord, he is the visible expression of an invisible God. Yeah. I can only see him by faith. I can't visibly see him. I visibly see you. And I thank God for that. But I, by eyes of faith, I see God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Don't understand that Trinity, but boy, I do see it. And in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 2, he tells us, "For the life which was with the Father was manifested in us." It's passed through God the Father, God the Son, to us. That's how we get life. If you want to talk about eternal life, you got to get here. Yeah. It can't just be a phrase that you can brag about as a Christian. Well, I have eternal life and I'm going to heaven one day. That's a wonderful statement. But folks, we got to know why we can say that. Because if I don't, I'm not going to love him deeper. I'm not going to know about him more deeper than ever. So the Word was in the beginning. The Word was God, with God was God. It's there for us. So if he was in the beginning, the Word was with God, but more so he was God. Keep that one in mind, because it's easy to say, and we can kind of believe that the Word was with God, because we know that Jesus was with God. God the Father, God the Son. We can visualize that. But then more so, the Word was God. That's where it breaks down for us. We can't understand that part of it. But I can by faith. I accept it by faith. I trust it by faith, because that's exactly what he says. We can't grasp the mystery. Now, if you tell me that you grasp the mystery of the Trinity, I want to have a talk with you. I would love for you to enlighten me how you understand the mystery. We don't understand it, but we accept it. As believers, we accept the fact that we can believe that he is a Trinity, and we can bow to that, because I do accept it by faith. We can bow to that, and we can adore that. We can worship that, because that's the way it is. Don't ever think you're going to do anything in your Christian life that's going to please this world. It's not going to, because they can't understand it. If you're a child of God, the world will not understand how you think, how you believe, and what you feel. It just won't happen. He's the one who gave me life. He's the one who humbled himself. I know you know this scripture, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Listen. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Same mind. Okay? "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation." He was just there to please the Father. "And took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." You, me. "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death." He didn't have to die. He had the power not to die. But he humbled himself to come to the place to where he would die. For who? Oh, man, touch yourself. Touch yourself, because it was for you. "He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Wow. I love you, Lord. I love him for coming to this earth and as a babe in a manger in Bethlehem. And I don't know why I like Christmas so much. I like the lights. I do. And I mean, whether they're white or colored doesn't make any difference to me. I do like the color better. I have a little switch on my Christmas tree. I can be either or. If somebody comes to my house and they want white lights, I just hit the button. But when they leave, I hit the other one. because that's where I am, you know. I don't know why I like Christmas the way I like Christmas, but I got a real good feeling why. Because I know him, the one that it's about. And when the 25th is over, there's something weird. I don't feel any different. I don't feel any different. I would approach lights the same way. I could keep my Christmas tree up all year round. I could. And then next year, just hit the button. Right? But then I read in verse 3, because it changes. Verse 1 and 2 changes at verse 3. You want to know him a little bit better? All things were made by him. We can relate to that, can't we? Because we're talking about things that were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Wow. Boy, that took you to a high. You can hear old John's tenor voice there, can't you? Huh? Because when you understand all things were made by him, I can understand that. I went to a wood shop one time where this man makes all sorts of stuff. You know, bird houses and different things with wood where you could customize them and everything. And I look around and I say, wow, this man made all of this. I can understand that. But when I would read, and without him was not anything made that was made, I'm thinking, well, now there's something different about that. Because the thing changes there. Anything, nothing was made that wasn't made by him. Right. So the next thing you look at and you say, wow, give God the credit. Give him the glory because he, through his son, made that possible. Yeah. I love him. Wow, what a savior. Oh, hallelujah. He created the light for the universe. Now, how do we know that? Because we read in Genesis, don't we? And he said, and we even sometimes joke about it when we turn the light switch on at home, and we'll say, and there was light. But it's so much different when he turned the lights on. When he made it so that man could see what he had created, but he was much more than what we could see. But he knew how he had created us. He knew what we were. So he turns the light switch on and he says, now look at what I did. Come on, take a look at it. But it doesn't stop there. It tells us that he didn't only create the light for the universe, he is the light of men. Now that's different. That's different. I can look and see what he created, but when the light for me that came to me, it didn't shine from the outside in. It shined from the inside out because, you see, he takes control from the inside, not from the outside. So when I go and drive around and look and see what he created, I can say, wow. But, buddy, when I understand and see what he created in me that comes out of me, that's a bigger wow, folks. That's on the tenor side. That's a crescendo of this thing. Wow, what a Christmas. I'm a plant grower. I do gardening, and I can't stand to see a plant die. I want to save its life if I can. And so I'll make sure it gets water and sunlight, because I know if it doesn't get sunlight, it's going to die. Right? They got to have light. Just as the sun is a source of life down here on this earth, so is the Son of God, man's source for eternal life. More than the life that breathes in my lungs, and one day the lungs will stop. the heart will stop. And we know that when the lungs and the heart stops, the oxygen level to the brain is not there anymore. And this body might as well not be here anymore because it's useless. It's worthless. It's just a body. Not so about my eternal life. Forever. I'm talking about his relationship to me. I'm talking about his relationship to you. Because that's what he's talking about here. I am come that they, man, us, might have life. Not just to breathe. When my daddy said I was the ugliest baby he'd ever seen, he at least saw me breathing. Right? He at least heard me cry many times, I may add. He knew I was alive. But when I accepted Christ as my Savior, he couldn't see that except how I may have reacted. I was still a boy. I was still a kid doing kids' things. And my dad couldn't see everything that he did in my heart. But he gave me real life. He gave me eternal life, a life that no one could take away. This is all about the baby in Bethlehem, folks. Who wasn't just a baby in Bethlehem. He was the Savior of the world. That's who my Savior is. So he came as a baby, right? I'm not going to take you away from the baby, so don't get all puffy with me. Not going to take you away from the baby because we all want to see the baby in Bethlehem. But more importantly, as this scripture tells us in John, on the crescendo part, the high tenor part here, he came as the light of man. I have light. When we talk about this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. That's the soul singing part of them, in case you've never seen that before. Oh, I love him, don't you? I adore him today. Because he's my light, he's my life. He doesn't shine on darkness. He shines in darkness. Is there a difference? There's a huge difference. He don't just put a light on bad things. He's there in bad things. See, the problem is man don't always recognize the light. He doesn't accept the fact that it is an eternal life and light. So God commanded that the light would shine out of darkness. Out of darkness. Now that's a mystery in itself, because when you turn the flashlight on or the light switch on, darkness disappears. And you turn on a light bulb. Well, he doesn't do it that way. He's different. He lights it from the inside out, and you say, well, how'd that happen? You don't have to know how it happened. Just accept the fact it happened. What he does. The darkness comprehended it not. That's what he says here. The darkness comprehended it not. Didn't understand it, didn't know about it, didn't know what was going on, but it was happening. Sometimes you just can't stop what's happening, right? His light will never go out. But man can condemn himself. Now listen to this. But man can condemn himself. His light will never go out, but you can condemn yourself by not loving and accepting what he's doing for you and the fact that he gave you light or is willing to give you light from within. You can refuse that. I don't know how a person does, but they do. And the Bible says that the reason you would is that you love the darkness rather than the light. I want to take you back to Matthew for just a moment, if I might, because I don't want to take you away from the baby. I just want you to see him more than a baby, because he is. Back to Matthew, we see a star. Best I can describe a star is it's a lot of light. Why did he use a star to tell the world where Jesus was? Why? Because it was light. How better do it than that? If he's going to teach man in John that he is the light, that he is the Word, he is God, he is everything. If you're going to do that, why not use a light out of heaven to point out where he is? When man asks, well, where is he? You show me where he is. And so God said, okay, I will. I'll put the light on him. So he did. So the light became our guide. The star became our guide. Now this was no ordinary star. The Bible plainly states it was his star. It wasn't anybody else's star. It wasn't associated with any other stars in the universe. They had their own thing going up there. God had another thing going. He said, okay, now start your time to play here. So you move right on over there and you get now where you need to be. And there's people up there. Let's see, there's some. Yeah, they're over here some. Y'all see? And he put it right up here and he said, now you shine right down there because this is where we're going. Now, when the wise men began to go to find him, what did the star do? Wherever they went, they went because of that's where the star was. The star didn't go with them. They went with the star. The light was their GPS. But what does it say happened when it got to where he was? The Bible says it stood over him because his father was up there guiding that thing. You can say he had a remote control if you want to. I don't care what you say. All I know is what the Bible says is that it stood over him. Because then he said, okay, you found him. This is where he is. Go on in and find out what he's got for you. Because he has eternal life for you. He's not just a babe in Bethlehem. He is the light and life of man. And I have it. And boy, do I want you to have it. I want you to have eternal life. And there would be no better day than all the world than for you to recognize what he did for you. How much he loves you. Let us pray. Lord, we're thankful for today. We're just so thankful that you've given us eternal life through your Son, Jesus Christ. And I pray, oh Lord, that if there's an individual in this auditorium today that has never accepted you as their personal Savior, oh God, I pray that today will be the day that they come to the place where they can adore you. See you as wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. May this be the best Christmas ever, because this is the Christmas they accepted Christ as their Savior. Thank you, Lord, for everything you've already done here today, and thank you for what you're going to do. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, please. We're going to sing one verse of page 44. If you'll please sing along with us, let's see what he's got to say, because there may be somebody in this congregation today that needs to be saved. You need Jesus Christ as your Savior, the light of the world. Oh, ye heavy laden, come to me and rest. thank you for your attendance to the house of God today. And I want to thank the Holy Spirit for making himself known also to us today. And I hope and pray that through the Word of God, you're leaving here with something that will last you forever. Everything he does is forever. So let's thank him for it. Don't forget that. Children are special, and when they have a health issue, it touches all of us. Let's remember that, would you? And there were many prayer requests in the prayer room this morning. We'd like for you to remember those also. I'd heard Steve was not doing well. Okay, when we leave here praying for these, okay? And you don't have to remember all the others that we mentioned in the prayer room, but God knows about them. But you can take them to him when you go to adore him and worship him in your own time. Just say, "And Lord," about all those requests. Yeah, please. Thank you, Les. We had told you that Carolyn just had a short time to live Wednesday night, and Carolyn went on, and we don't have the details yet, but as soon as we can get those, we'll get them out through Stacy, and you'll know about Carolyn Whaley. I did have a man call me this past week, and a couple that I've known for the last 50 years. His former wife had passed away, and I hadn't seen her in 50 years, I guess. It's been a long time. But anyway, I'm doing a graveside service Wednesday morning for them. So remember, his name is Wayne. Go ahead. Yeah. Okay. Don't forget that. There are people everywhere who need prayers, folks, and let's pray, and let's go to the one that can handle all these, okay? See you tonight at 6 o'clock, unless our choir director has instructions for the choir. 5:15. If you're in the choir or want to be in the choir, just come on. That's all you got to do. Go ahead and get it. And I'm sorry? Well, isn't that nice art? I drew that. I love y'all. You'll want to come back tonight. There's going to be a very special Christmas message tonight. And it's not me. Now you can come back. This is kind of like Friday on the edge of night and the guiding light. You'll know tonight. Okay? Let's bow our heads and be dismissed with a word of prayer. Gene, would you do that, please?